In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Please be seated. There's a story once told about a man who lived in the ancient world, and he had four wives. His fourth wife was his youngest, most beautiful wife, by far his favorite. He loved her, worshipped her, he could never say no to her. Whatever her desire would be his passion. His third wife he loved too. He was very proud of his third wife. He would show her off to all of his friends. And he was very protective about his third wife. No harm would ever come to her. His second wife he loved, but in a different way. She gave him counsel and was there for him always, even the darkest moments of his life. He always knew that he could rely on his second wife. But his first and oldest wife he cared little for. He spent the only time with her that was obligatory. Because of his neglect, she became hurt and sick and old and fragile. Well, as it comes for all of humanity, it came the day for the man to die. And on his deathbed, he called for his fourth and favorite wife. He said, "I've loved you more than all the others. I've never said no to you. I've worshipped and adored you. Now I ask one thing of you. Will you take my hand and follow me in death?" And she looked at him and she said, "When you die, I will be gone." Devastated, he called for his third wife. He said, "I've always loved you. I've protected you at all costs. No harm has ever come to you. Now I ask you to follow me in death." She leaned over his deathbed. She looked into his eye. She said, "The moment you die, the very moment you die, I will be in the arms of others." The second wife he called, he said, "I've always cared for you. You've been there faithful to me in my darkest moments. Always give me counsel and comfort. Now I ask you to follow me in death." And with great compassion, she took his hand. She said, "I'll hold your hand and I will follow you. But at the grave, I have to let go." So devastated, shocked, and isolated and alone, lying in his deathbed, suddenly he hears a voice from the shadows, a voice he barely recognized. The voice of someone long past saying, "I will go with you. I've always been with you. I will never leave you. I will take your hand. I will follow you in death." He looked, and in the shadows was the image of his first wife, ill and aged. She took his hand and she followed him in death. I tell the story because whether you know it or not, all of us have four spiritual wives. You know that? The fourth wife represents our bodies, how we love our bodies. We never say no to them. We worship and adore them. But when we die, they are gone. The third wife represents our possessions and wealth and how proud we are, how we show them off, how we protect them at all costs. But the moment we die, they will be in the arms of others. The third wife represents our family and our friends and how good they are to us, even our darkest moment, how we can trust them. But as you know, we can only go so far. And at the grave, we have to let go. But the first wife represents the only thing in this world that is eternal. And that is our souls. And how we neglect them from time to time. How we spend only the time that is obligatory. And it's just as well perhaps we sometimes can't see or visualize our souls. So they might be aged and sick and alone. And I tell the story because the story is the story of Martha and Mary. Martha is busy about many things in the kitchen, and her sister is sitting at the feet of Jesus. And Martha complains to Jesus, and Jesus says his famous words, "Martha, Martha, you distract about many things, but Mary has chosen the better part." It is a story not condemning Martha, but it is a story affirming and warning that we are not to neglect our souls, the one thing that is eternal. In a few moments, I'll come back to the story and ask how we fit into the story. But if I may, let me give a few details of context. The story of Martha and Mary comes to us through the Gospel of Luke. And Luke is such a beautiful gospel. Of all the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, Luke emphasizes the humanity of Jesus. Contrast that a bit with Mark, who emphasizes Jesus as the wonder worker, the miracle person. But Luke is the one that gives us a window into the personal life of Jesus. Only in Luke do we have the Christmas story, the details of his birth. Only in Luke do we have the one story of our Lord's youth when he was 12 years old being found in the temple. And Luke introduces us to Martha and Mary and Lazarus, this family, this dear friends of Jesus. And Luke tells us in a sense that even the Son of God needed love. Even the Son of God needed companionship. And indeed, he found this with the Holy Mother, with the Holy Family, but also with the sisters and brother Martha, Mary, and Lazarus. We, in our day, might call that our Lord's family of choice. Later, we know that Lazarus dies, and it was Lazarus who Jesus raises from the dead. But not before he wept at the grave for Lazarus. So we know that Jesus loved and was committed to these two sisters and brother. And so now we come and we ask, how do we fit into the story? I think far too often this story is seen as an either-or story, and it's often taught that way, that either we have to choose to be a worker like Martha to live an active life, a worshiper like Mary to live a contemplative life, become a monk or a nun. But actually the story simply tells us that we're to live a balanced life, both of working and worshiping. Charles Wesley, in one of his beautiful hymns, articulates the theme of this story in one of his verses, saying, faithful to my Lord's commands, I still would choose the better part, serving with Martha's caring hands and with Mary's loving heart. It's just that is this story warning us that too often, like Martha, we get busy with the pots and the pans of this world and we neglect the soul. And if we didn't have that as a problem, we wouldn't need the story of Martha and Mary. But we, like Martha, get so involved with the pots and the pans and the duties and the schedules of this world. Why? Because we're wonderfully made for this world. We're made for pots and pans and duties and objects and things. We swim in it. We love it. And that's why in the end it's hard to give it up. It's hard to die. Even if we have faith, as the old phrase goes, we might all believe in heaven, but no one wants to go there now. Because we're made for this world beautifully. And we're like Martha. It's a wonderful thing. But this story is given to us to say, even so, if we wait till we're finished with the pots and the pans and the things and the schedules before we sit at the feet of Jesus, we'll never sit there. And few of us wake up, none of us wake up in the morning and say, I think today I would neglect my soul. I would neglect and not care about the things eternal. We care about them. But this story simply says to us, we have to be, as Christians, deliberate. We have to plan to sit at the feet of Jesus, because if we don't plan on it, we'll never do it. And so one of the messages to you and to me as Christians is to use our imagination and creativity and to be disciplined to say, may I exercise and diet spiritually to sit at the feet of Jesus. And like physical diet and exercise, what works for me might not work for you. In my personal life, when I learned to pray the rosary, everything changed. I learned what it was to sit at the feet of Jesus. For the first in my life, I learned to pray, and that taught me. But not everyone experiences that in the Holy Rosary. So think about, especially today, the Sunday of Martha and Mary, creative ways that you might build in your personal life a rule of life to sit at the feet of Jesus. I give only one, mention one today, because on this Sunday of Martha and Mary, it's the appropriate day to preach Sunday. When we come every Sunday to Mass, when we come to Sunday service, in essence, that's what we're doing. We're sitting at the feet of Jesus. We're building into our weekly schedule to sit at the feet of Jesus like Martha. Notice in this 1 hour, hour and a half, we're not feeding anyone. We're not doing the outreach or the mission of the church. This hour is to sit at the feet of Jesus. And it gives us the centeredness and the inspiration then for the rest of the week to go out and do the work that he's given us to do. So let us not neglect the coming together on Sundays. And it's not always easy. I think for families especially, it's not easy with children. And we have to respect families especially, what the sometimes the duty and the sacrifice it takes to come to Sunday Mass. But when we do so, we participate in that balance, the beautiful balance of Christianity, to serve with the caring hands of Martha and with Mary's loving heart. Amen. Mm-hmm.